Good evening, Sunderet. Welcome to you.
Good evening. Close to you. I feel laughter and also pain. Each time I come to you, my dear friends, it is never quite the same. The diversity of love and feelings is immeasurable, and I wish to say to you this time that upliftment is needed in your world at this time. That is not to deviate from the pathway of knowledge and love, which still continues to grow, but also there are times when people of your earth seem to feel overwhelmed. We have come to accept these conditions, but as always, we focus on all that is good. Therefore, my dear friends, I say to you, continue with your love. Continue with upliftment. Continue with your prayers. And you will see the returns of that love. It may not be tomorrow in your time. It may take some hundreds of your years. But I am here to reassure you of these happenings, of the great joy that will come eventually to many. So place aside your earthly worries and give to others that great joy that you feel at times within this energy. Share with others not only your knowledge, but those doubts that you may have, because in speaking words, you are then able to control the thoughts. Do you understand?
Yes, the speaking the words seem to reinforce our thoughts and convictions somehow, and I guess it helps us all to work together in that.
Yes, and to dispel any negativity. By expression, you can then let go.
Yes, it's sort of acknowledging it by speaking it.
Yes, that is exactly what I mean.
And it's a very good thought for us, that even if things don't seem to be happening necessarily in our lifetimes, a process has begun which will eventually lead to its maturity.
Yes. Be secure in that knowledge. Be secure that what we in spirit are endeavoring to do is to bring many more people back to the truth.
Yes.
And what they do innately know and recognize. It indeed is a task that few would wish to undertake. But I, of course, as you know, bring optimism to all of you. I strive that each one of you recognizes within yourselves that spiritual aspect of all knowing. Have you any questions this time?
I was just going to ask quickly that, about the Bosnian pyramids, if I may, just a quick question. I had an internet connection with somebody who had been out to the pyramids, and she sent me two pictures. One, there was a picture that looked like it was light, but it wasn't the light that you get from what's it called? Is it a prism or whatever?
Orbs.
Sorry?
The orbs.
No, I was going to ask about them. But this light was like a, almost like a finger of light, but it was different colours. But it wasn't the colours of like the rainbow or the spectrum. They were those colours, but they weren't in the right order. And I wondered if you could, and that was taken inside the pyramid. And there was also another picture of some orbs, these little circles all over the picture, again.
Orbs of white light, I believe.
Of white light. So I just wondered if you could give me a few words on that I could relay back to this Helen.
We have already discussed that spirit has been involved.
Yes.
And what is being seen are spiritual lights.
Spiritual lights.
Which, of course, you would understand.
Yes.
To be different from your everyday colors and light.
Right.
So, there is really no mystery for those who have knowledge.
No.
Good.
But, of course, it is more difficult in trying to explain to those without spiritual knowledge what is happening there.
Could I add to that? We have also been in touch with sensitive people who have been part of the labour force, the volunteer labour force, who have been clearing the tunnels. And from what has been said and sensed, I suspect that there is an ancient site guardian with the main pyramid there. I think Well, in my own mind, I know that ancient site guardians are often related to ley lines and upkeep of ley lines, and this may be a part of the scheme. And I wondered if you might like to comment on the possibility of an ancient site guardian being there.
If you are to understand guardians, you are surrounded in your world with these beings. Now, if I am to separate individual sites to explain guardians, then it could be misconstrued as being false truth. All I will say to you, my dear friends, is that the whole of your earth, your planet, is indeed induced with guardians, guardians of your world. Whether it would be correct to say there were individuals at different sites, I am not sure that I could uphold that truth. But I will endeavor to find out for you whether this is the case or not at these particular pyramids.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
I'm sure many people would be very much appreciative of further comments there. We have, I believe, spoken about these guardians on a previous occasion.
Yes.
And
people would wish to think that this was something extraordinary. I beg to say to you, it is not.
Yes.
That is all that I am trying to convey to you.
Yes.
It is nothing extraordinary.
Yes.
Again, it depends on people's sensitivity, as you call it, and their own spiritual knowledge.
Yes.
You understand.
Yes, yes, thank you very much. And we happen to be in touch with one gentleman who has actually communicated with one ancient site guardian, and I believe that communication with them is unusual.
Yes. Well, we will leave it there for now.
Mm. Well, thank you very much for that.
Yes, I am not always happy, as you know, to speak individually about individual happenings. My message is a larger one than that.
Mm.
Yes.
But if I can be of help, then of course I will endeavour to do so.
Mm. Wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Sally, going back to what you previously said about spreading the word,
yes,
we can do. I just wondered, have things improved over the last 10, 20, 30, 40 years on people's knowledge in the world?
Yes.
To any degree of knowledge that spirit goes on, that we go on, rather?
I think, my dear friend, that you only have to look at the amount of conversation in your world that is happening now,
mm-hmm.
to realize how much it has grown, how much knowledge is now available to those who seek. There always has been knowledge that has never changed. What has changed is that mankind today is now much more open-minded, and that is steadily increasing.
That's wonderful.
So, the answer to your question is that there is no doubt that truth is spreading.
That is great.
Practically every time you open the newspaper or a magazine, somebody's written something about something spiritual. So yes, that's really increased in the last few years.
Yes.
With that knowledge, though, and that leads me on to the question I was going to ask. Richard and I were talking on the telephone tonight about an individual that he knows that's asked him for... She's asked Richard for her, for his help. She's just lost her husband. And she's so obviously confused and it's so raw. And Richard and I were wondering, with our knowledge, sometimes it's... When you have somebody who's so sensitive, it can be overwhelming. And, you know, and we're not necessarily the best people, I don't think, to talk to when we have a little bit, and I mean a little bit more knowledge than somebody who is completely in the dark of spiritual matters, but suddenly finds themselves wanting answers. And are we adept at answering her questions without making things worse for her, because she's seeking so many answers, and we know where that person's gone in spirit and we know he's okay, but we don't really want to make things worse for her, if you understand what I mean.
If the dear lady is seeking, then answers are what she seeks. But I have to say, sometimes to hold backwards, I agree, is more sensible until another time.
That's what I thought.
Not everyone is ready for the truth at such
emotional time.
Yes. Their emotions will overwhelm them.
That's what Richard and I more or less decided between us, that we need somebody else to help her, and I feel it's not a spiritual counsellor. People come, they need a bereavement counsellor to help them with the physical rather than the spiritual first.
Yes, I agree with you. And then spiritual matters can be introduced. When those emotions are more under control.
I'm glad I mentioned it, because that's made me feel better that we were on the right track.
Sometimes a simple word or two is adequate to know that there is a strong belief that life continues.
Yeah, I feel at this precise moment in time, that's all that's needed.
Yes. Yes, you are correct, I would say.
Thank you.
And it does take some people a very long time. One lady who I've been sowing the seed to for many, many years, she's now just beginning to ask me questions.
Yes.
So, yeah.
When they are ready, they will question. That is when you should step forward and help. But do not overwhelm.
So it's when they start looking to go to mediums that they, on psychics that they've seen in the papers, and they want to go to spiritualist churches, and they're looking for answers that, like you say, would completely overwhelm anybody. I think they need to heal themselves first. That's how I feel.
It, of course, varies with individuals. Some are ready so much more quickly than others.
Mm-hmm.
But that is where your own spiritual knowledge comes to the fore.
Mm-hmm.
You will or should realize at what stage those souls are at.
Yeah, you do. You definitely do that.
You should have that knowledge.
It's an innate knowledge that you know.
Yes.
It's a instinct.
Yes. I know all too often that people wish to give all of the knowledge that they themselves have obtained. And we in spirit see the excitement that encompasses them because of this knowledge. But that is not to say that everyone is ready at the same time.
No, that's right. No. And in the same token, not everybody is able to give that knowledge in, well, maybe they instinctively know when to keep quiet, as it were. But I don't really know where I'm going with this, but we were on the right track. I instinctually knew it wasn't right. It wasn't right for the time.
Yes.
And it reminded me of sometimes I've been a bit tentative for some reason and I think it is the right thing. And then you are waiting for them to come back to you. You think, well, I've said a few things, and if they really want it, they'll start questioning you on the small amount of information you have given. But so you hold back and wait for them to
come back. This person approached Richard first, and Richard felt it. You know, he wanted to hold back. And he was instinctively right, and then he spoke to me, and we both agreed that we could say the wrong thing and do a lot more damage than is necessary at this stage.
Mm-hmm. And do not forget, my dear friends, about the spiritual aspect of what is happening here. That it is the spiritual light which attracts others to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, when people seek knowledge, in fact, they are being attracted by your light.
Mm-hmm.
And this is good, but there is no rush for knowledge.
No.
Mm-hmm. I've got to do this with a great deal of respect, sir. You know, when we come down as a spirit into a mother, it seems that the spirit comes down and they wipe the computer off completely, and it hasn't got any knowledge of past spirituality. And therefore it has to fight away for quite a few years to find it, perhaps, and perhaps they don't. I just wonder, is there any reason why they have to completely wipe the memory right off? Can there be not a bit left? So that
some people do,
that
I
new person
do.
Got some, well, most of them should have a little bit. So that they can go on through life a lot easier and find spirituality.
That's not the purpose, is it, Roger? We're here to learn.
I don't know. I'm just going to find out.
Yes, there are eager replies because they understand life is not meant to be so easy as to sail through. What would be the purpose of life when you could remain in spirit and still grow? Spirit comes to this earth through physical ties to learn. To learn different things or different people. No one says that life should be easy. And in fact, the more spiritual knowledge you gain, sometimes life seems even harder. But with those difficulties comes understanding and knowledge. Even if you do not feel that is the right thing for a human being. Spiritually, that soul is growing, no matter what the problems may be. Everyone has a time in life when they gain that knowledge, whether they accept it or not is entirely up to their own free will. But the opportunity is always there. Yes, some people do return to this life and have the memories. But that is the exception rather than the rule, as you humans would say. There are lessons to learn, so you do not wish to remember what has gone past. You wish to start with a clean
sheet.
Yes. And that is the reason for memory.
That's put a lot of my memories to rest. Thank you very much for that.
I hope that...
I've thought about this for a long period.
Yes. You wish to remember. But now you have some spiritual knowledge, you can regain memory. If you have learned the lessons of this lifetime, you can then ask for more to be given. Do you understand?
Yes. I look back at all the mistakes I've made, the shocking things I've done. And
you are too harsh.
That's why we're
about
not
yourself.
Harsh on
himself.
But I remember Sally Beck's words, and he said, you know, if you make a mistake and you learn by it, that's good. Because then you've learned something.
You are learning all of the time. Do not ever say to yourself, why have I done that? Because, my dear friend, there usually is a very good reason. You may not understand that reason. You may not like that reason. But it is part of your life. And I am sure, my dear friend, you could look backwards at your life here now and say, it was not as bad as I thought.
Last time, Sally, you spoke on the subject of depression.
Yes.
And... I think was mentioned the thought that mind was temporarily detached from spirit during deep depression.
Mind can never be separated. Mind is spirit.
Simon didn't say detachment. He said that you become less aware because the
ignore
the depression is the first and foremost in your mind. So that selfish act becomes then all encompassing, and your spirit gets put on a back burner, so to speak. But you never become detached from spirit.
Yes, perhaps that is a better way of putting it. That spirit was being ignored.
It is the human being ignoring spirit.
Yes.
Yes, they are not listening to that inner voice.
Hmm.
They have become so, I do not like the word obsessed, but it is the only one I can think of at this moment.
Or maybe overwhelmed, which you used before, Solomon.
Yes, that is better.
Yes.
Yes.
I wanted to make the point that if spirit is ignored in that way, then the person can either go inwards into deep depression or outwards to become a person like, for example, Adolf Hitler, who became very dominant.
You are taking two extremes about this subject. Yes, it is quite true that you can choose either way. The responsibility that mankind has for his own travel through this lifetime is so great. But within every human being there is that spark of spirit. And it is never completely lost. So even someone like, you say, Hitler, who is known within your world as a despot, there was always a spark of love.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what everyone should be endeavoring.
Yes. Yes, I take your point. There would always be that spark. And,
yes.
And that spark connection would still yield good things on occasions.
Yes.
No doubt.
Mm. You have to remember that there would be a mother or someone else who is exuding love to that person,
mm-hmm.
even if the individual themselves seems to be without any kind of love.
Yes, yes, I'm sure.
So that is why there can never be separation.
Yes.
Mind and spirit belong together.
The ones that come to mind are Eva Braun, who I'm sure gave love.
Yes.
And his dog.
I was just going to say the same thing.
He had a good bond with his dog.
Mm, he had tremendous love for both of those individuals.
Yes.
And I believe he had, in our terms today, it's not understood, but even his ideals didn't all come from evil. A lot of it, I believe, came out of love in a strange way.
That is why, my dear friends, you can never judge. You do not have the ability to see that whole wide picture.
Mm-hmm.
But when there are people of that ilk in your world, remember it is the physical brain which becomes damaged,
yes.
Not the mind.
Yes, I must admit I feel a certain regret in mentioning that example. yes, that connects, I think, with the fact that we should not judge.
I have said it on many occasions. To judge, in a way, is to judge yourselves.
Mm.
Think about those words. If ever you find fault, look to yourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, we just don't know the intentions of that person. If the intentions were, you know, were sort of to try to sort out this world as he saw it,
yeah.
In a better way, we just don't know what the intentions were. So we,
no.
But to judge the action, we can't until we know the intention. I mean, I think there's plenty of people who appear to be doing good things in the world, but it's the same thing. We just can't judge whether their intention is to actually improve this planet, the people, and the land and everything.
Yes. I would say you cannot judge.
Mm.
You do not see the full picture. But what I can convey to you is that to hurt another single human being is never right.
Mm. Yes.
Not
yes.
In spiritual laws.
Right, that's a clear
so
line.
You see, it is always difficult unless you know the whole picture.
Well, I wanted to lead on to the fact that one of our readers wrote in about depression. Now, he has a friend with a wife who has been having terrible depressions over a period of years, and she's had medical treatment, which includes drugs, so-called drug therapy, but she seems to go in and out of periods of depression. I have asked a few questions, and I think the depressions were triggered by the fact that her husband eloped with another woman, then returned when that didn't work out, and they have been together sort of happily ever since for a number of years, but the depressions continue, and the medical treatment and drugs are probably having temporary effects. Would you care to comment on that situation, Sally?
I would not comment on individual situations. I will say only that those who find themselves deep in depression have in a way lost the ability to love life.
To love life.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm.
There are available to people much help in your world. And I am not dismissing the seriousness of depression, but again I must say that those who suffer are in fact responsible for their own conditions.
Yes, and I realise you can only comment in a general sense.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. There is deep within people with depression a feeling of being lost. And it is, in a sense, a separation from their own spirit. I believe that's what you thought I meant. It is
yes.
a separation. Only because they have lost their way of thinking and feeling and knowing what is right.
Mm. It makes me think that a lot of people who do give the orders for countries to go to war and cross that line of taking lives. It makes me think, though we mustn't judge them as well, but that they've lost that. They're separated from their spirits. For them to resort to,
I disagree with that.
Wars.
I disagree. I think, as we've always been told, there are two important elements, and one is love and one is fear. And they're driven by the fear.
Yes.
And that fear culminates into their own depression, because they create that environment in which that depression thrives. And that is fear. And it's finding the way out of it and knowing that you can come out by purely loving yourself first, and then those of you around you, and allowing people to allow that love in.
Yes, allow others to help.
Yes. It's when they cut off completely from their own environment, their own spirituality. Spirit's not cut off from them, but they're cut off with it, because they're living in this selfish little bubble of their own. Sorry.
No, you have explained it well. Yes. There are so many conditions in your world, so many disputes about health. And I have to return, my dear friends, to simplicity. And the lady has reminded you, as I have often said, there is love and there is fear. And fear creates so many dark situations, whether it be fear of life itself. I cannot say for certain, but there is fear of money, there is fear of lack of love, there is fear of so many things in your world. Where is trust? Where is the love of the Spirit which helps you overcome all of these problems? It is the strength of love which will help these people. And that strength of love has to come from others initially. But for them to be entirely healed, there has to be recognition of themselves.
Yes, I imagine that the fear of others leads the leaders of nations to manufacture vast quantities of weaponry in a desperate physical attempt to allay that fear that they have.
I think it's fear from their in their lack, their power. They fear that, for want of a better word, that they're going to lose some sort of power that fear has on others, if they only realise that that's completely not the way to go at all. That that's what causes wars, is the fear of losing power, in my opinion.
If you look at it from a spiritual aspect, it is light and dark. It is a power struggle, and that simply is what it is. It is what many people would call evil and the devil, the darkness and the light. And all is seeking the light. Whether it creates dark situations or not, that is what is happening, that the dark seeks the light. But in that travel, the darkness creates many things that you in your world would term bad or evil. But again, I am speaking from knowing the wider picture.
Your last two statements should be hung up in the House of Parliament and in the White House and a few other places. I think would be wonderful. And as these parliamentary guys go in there, can read it each day. I can't do that, but I can do this. Would be a happier world. George, print it out.
I think you could bring it right down. It's not necessarily just those in the big jobs, as it were, in governments, etc. But if you went into an office of people, and around the boardroom table, let's make it much smaller, there's 12 people around the table, and they all might be equal in positions, but there'll be one person that's fearful that he might lose his position if he doesn't start making the others take notice. And governments are no different, really. And until that corruption and that fear dispels, it won't change.
It's you feel that it's becoming harder for leaders to create wars now that there's so much dissension from the people now. You feel like it's going to be much harder for one person to sort of lead us into a war.
Absolutely.
I think that's right.
I think
there is a saying in your world with which I fully agree on a spiritual level, and that is that people power will change.
Yes.
Make many great changes. And it will always be the union of people with strong ideas, good ideas.
The most powerful people coming on from what you just said are those people that can hear somebody else and out of pure love, not jealousy, not hate, encourage them, that is a brilliant idea, let's run with that idea. And that's where the change will come in, I believe, in governments and countries and everything about our civilization, really. The advent of the internet and media sites where, you know, it's had just recently its adverse situations, but on the whole, it can only be for the good, because there are many, many more. One person's idea then becomes millions of people's idea, and that thought is all pushing towards one common. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes. Yeah. It
can gather momentum.
It
more
can gather momentum.
Information is being shared.
And
also, information sort of curtains are coming up on information.
That's right.
So it's so not being revealed.
Not just one group in the future will be as, you know, all powering or all empowered, because it will be lots. It'll be moving in the right direction from millions of people.
And as I think Sediment suggests, people power can say no to war.
Yeah. It's not going to be a top-down pyramid anymore.
No.
It's going to be coming from all
a big
labels.
Wave from underneath. Yeah. Pushing through. And
you must never assume that all governments are wrong thinking. Because within every government there are good. There are people there who will spread that good.
Yes.
It may be little by little, but it will increase. And there are many in our world who are working to seek out that one person who can make a change.
Yes.
It may be with few words, it may be with few actions, but around your world this work continues.
It's often those, isn't it, but the quietest voice. You take somebody like Gandhi, who wasn't a big person in voice or stature, but just reached out to thousands and thousands of people in his quiet manner. So maybe the person in government that's going to change has often got the quietest voice rather than the loudest.
And you have to think in your world, how do you teach the children of your world? It is not even by words, but they learn from actions. And it would bode well for every adult to remember what it is like to be a child with unconditional love. That is what we seek. Not easy, but you should be able to achieve. And now, my dear friends, I will leave you this time.
Thank you very much.
I know we have covered ground that we have spoken of before, but I also hope that it has once more fired within you the thoughts of good.
I was going to say we've covered much ground this evening. Thank you so much. So good.
Yeah. As always, as I leave you, my dear friends, you know that I am aware of you all. I leave you cloaked in my love.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is with you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Until next time.
Thank you.
And our love goes with you.